You know that song that we sang this morning? I actually heard it going home last Wednesday from healing school. And it was just such a good song, but a couple of the things that it said is the fact of sweet love of mine. Is Jesus your sweet love? You know? He should be the love of our life. You know, when he's making reference to Jesus and he goes, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your desire. What is God's desire? That you be healed, that you be whole, that you be sound, that you be set free. Is that not God's desire? You know, everything, Jesus, if you question in your heart if it's his will, just go to the cross. If it was paid for on the cross, it's his will. And see, our job as his bride is to surrender to his desire. And that means just to receive all that he has for us. You know, I just think that's so beautiful. And I want to read, because I'm teaching on rejection, so I wanted to read again out of Isaiah, which was in the Old Testament, a prophecy of Jesus coming, but not just his coming, what he would pay for, what he would accomplish in the lives of his people when he came and he paid for all of this on the cross. So I'm going to start actually in verse 3. Although in verse 2 it says that we would look upon him and there would be no beauty, that we would desire him. Reason Jesus didn't look really beautiful on the cross is because sin, sickness, disease is not too beautiful to have to bear. And that's what he took. And then he took every bondage that you are under or have been under. He took every abuse. He took all of it, every sickness, every disease, every sin. And that is why he no longer was too desirable or too beautiful to look upon. So therefore, don't let him have died for nothing. Seriously. Jesus, everything that you paid for me, I will receive. Because I know it was not an easy work on that cross. Just that we could lay hold. You know, that's what God expects us to do, is to lay hold. It's like, come on, believer, rise up. Get mature. Grow up, so to speak, and receive what Jesus did for you on that cross. What a delight. That's surrendering to his desire. And again, if you don't know, all you got to do is look in the book. It tells you what he paid for. And he did not pay for this, but that it was his will for us to receive it. He said that we should pray, kingdom of God, come. Will of God, be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can look at heaven. Same thing. Is there bondage in heaven? Is there sickness in heaven? Is there sin in heaven? He said, pray that it would be the same here in your life, individually, because we are the ones that are actually his product on this earth, aren't we? Amen. But in verse 3 of Isaiah 53, it says, he was despised and rejected and forsaken by men. So if Jesus was rejected, must be he paid for you to not have to walk in rejection. And that is probably one of the biggest things that we as mankind walk in. And in this rejection, see, some of this, there was another song we were going to sing this morning, but it takes time and we have to try to keep ourselves in because we got to come back for night service. But it talked about he had come to heal the sickness of man. And what is the sickness of man? It's not just always physical sickness, it's sickness of the soul too. And rejection is a sickness of our soul, of our personality. You see, Jesus, right here it says that he was rejected for us so that we would not be rejected. He was despised, rejected, and forsaken by men. So if you feel you've been abandoned, Jesus was abandoned for you so you don't have to walk in that abandonment. He was a man of sorrows and pains. He was acquainted with grief and sickness. Now, Jesus was not sick one day that he walked this earth. He was sick only on that cross because it was for us. All right? So that's how he was acquainted with it. Now, he became acquainted with everything man bears and goes through only when he was on the cross, because when Jesus walked on this earth, how did he walk as? A man that was victorious, a God man, didn't he? And as he gave us that as an example, that if Jesus could walk in that dominion, in that authority, so can we. You see? So he became acquainted with these things here on the cross. He walked as an example for us on this earth, and then on the cross, he paid for everything so that we could step into that position of walking in his righteousness, of walking in that authority. Again, he received all of that for us. I love that scripture in Solomon, I think it's chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, talking about the bride, and he said, there is no flaw in her. So you know what that means? Is that the blood of Jesus has so cleansed us that there's no flaw. He has made us worthy. Yes? Solomon. Song of Solomon. 4:7, I believe, is what it is, okay? And that's amplified, but the other ones say it pretty close. Okay, so he was acquainted with sickness, like one upon whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. So if you don't feel like people appreciate you, Jesus wasn't too appreciated either, was he? Okay? What does that tell us? We come out of serving what other people think about us. Is that not true? If he took it, we don't have to care about what other people think about us. Do you know that is probably one of the greatest bondages there is being concerned. You will never accomplish the will of God in your life if you're always going to worry about whether somebody's going to like you or not. And if you get called extreme a little bit, get over it. Okay, I get called that a lot. So, you know, who cares? I'm not extreme. Okay, I'm going by the word. That's all it is. And you know what? Jesus probably would seem pretty extreme to natural man here on this earth. Surely, he has borne, that means he took upon himself, our grief, sicknesses, weaknesses, our distresses. He carried our sorrows and pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken and smitten of God as with leprosy. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement of our peace and well-being was upon him. And with the stripes, with the whipping, he was wounded so that we could be healed and made whole. There you go. So there it is. If you question, is this for me or not? All you got to do is look at the cross. And you know what? Here where it says that he was wounded so we could be made, so we could be healed and made whole. Oh my goodness, there's a lot in that. Do you feel broken today? He was broken so you could be made whole. Okay? So we talk a lot about this in this class, about healing the brokenness of man, which is, you know, more than just sickness. But Jesus paid the price for us to be made whole. That means how, you know, when we just got done with that series on healing the soul, how easy it is to step into that place and allow the Holy Spirit to bring you back into wholeness, no matter how broken you may feel you've been. It's kind of like what Brian said here, the imaginations. You know, if we imagine ourselves staying broken all of our lives, and that's all we see. Be careful who you go listen to, because I'm going to tell you something with that. If you go listen to counselors or psychologists and psychiatrists and doctors who are always, or even listen to the news, okay? That'll do you. I mean, my goodness, they have us going down the tube all the time. But if we listen to that, what are we going to begin to imagine? You see, but if we listen to what God's word says, begin to see yourself healed, begin to see yourself whole, begin to see yourself blessed and wealthy. The Bible says to say you're rich. Let the poor say I'm rich. Let the weak say I'm strong. What part of this, that, I mean, he just complains out and tells us to start saying this. How many times do we go around saying, I'm strong, I'm not weak, I'm strong, I'm rich, I'm not poor, I'm not in debt, I'm healed. When were you healed? 2,000 years ago on that cross. When were you saved? 2,000 years ago on that cross. You just accepted it whenever you accepted it. That's all it was. Same way with your healing. Same way with your deliverance. We need to begin to see ourselves free and whole. All right? Okay. Now to my lesson. People, and we're talking about, again, rejection and actually how rejection really begins to affect a person. Rejection probably because it affects the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. You could probably say it's a mental malady or kind of, I don't want to call it a sickness, but in a way it is, because you operate so much out of that if you've had a lot of rejection in your life. Okay, so rejection will hinder you from almost receiving anything from God, because we have this mindset of I'm not worthy enough to get this. And it goes back into this reasoning always of self, and this reasoning of always looking back at ourselves rather than keeping our focus on Jesus. Now, if you are looking at yourself all the time and you've got this negative imagination, again, you have to go to the Word. And then it's your choice to line yourself up with what God says. You can line yourself up with the world and what the enemy wants to tell you, or you can line yourself up with God's word. But it's your choice. Choose this day who you will serve. You're either going to serve the word of God, what God says about you, or you're going to serve what the world system has been endeavoring to stamp literally on your psyche all year after year after year after year. Amen? Okay, so rejection will bring about personality malfunction. Okay, so when a person has had rejection in their life, and it normally stems out of, which I don't know if I went into that last time I spoke on that, but it can come various ways. It can come in our lives as children, or it can even come up through the generations, okay? And if it comes up, especially through generations, then, like, if you had a parent that had a lot of rejection, then, and they operated in that rejection, that would assure you, you're probably going to have a whole lot of rejection from them, because rejected people reject others, all right? So, but it brings about this malfunction or a dysfunction in our personalities, which our society is full of dysfunction. The church is full of dysfunction. Why do you think the church is full of dysfunction? Because we're not, sometimes we'll deal with our sin because we hear that preached and preached and preached to us, but then how about all these other things that really have no more right to be in your life? We talk about not tolerating sin in our lives, but don't tolerate this other stuff either. You see? When all these other things like rejection or sickness or brokenness come to you, we don't tolerate, shouldn't tolerate those things either. All right? I know people in this church who have had enough of the word preached to them that if they get a bad report, their first response is, excuse me, not me. I don't receive that. You see what I'm saying? There's no tolerance level for that here. See what I'm saying? Now, that I'm not saying that a bad report might not want it to be attacking you, but it came to the wrong house and it came to the wrong place. If it wanted to make a nest, if it wanted to find a dwelling place, not here, you see. And why can you say that? It's because you know your provision. Your provision. Look at the cross. What did he carry for you? Don't let him carry that in vain. What did, when we stand before the Lord, he's going to ask us, what did we do with what he gave us? You see, what are we doing with this great price? These, like talked in that song too, those diamonds. Wow. Actually, what I'm going to do with this is I'm going to finish teaching it over the next few weeks here, and then I'm going to do like a corporate deliverance. So when you come, see, because rejection it involves so many things, you could, and rejection operates in so many different ways, you could be rejecting your healing. See, that's a mentality. It's a personality dysfunction, you see. We don't have to reject anything. We don't have to figure out if I'm worthy or not. It was paid for. Rejection is the feeling of not being liked, accepted, loved, valued, or received. It's a state of feeling abandoned, almost like an orphan state. It's a state of feeling unwanted, unaccepted, unappreciated. And again, we have to walk by what? Faith, not by our feelings, all right? So many people come up all the time, and they're, and this is so commonplace in the church, where people come in and don't feel accepted. You know, why don't we feel accepted? Why don't we feel liked? Why don't we feel like we can't fit in? It's because we're walking by our feelings and not by a faith, okay? So there's certain things that, you know, and I'm not saying that rejection doesn't come and knock at my door from time to time. It does, but I still don't have to receive it. You see what I'm saying? That's a choice again. When you catch yourself with self-doubt or self-questioning, okay, then that ought to be your clue. Something's there that shouldn't be there. Again, go back to the Word of God and see yourself walking in the victory of Jesus Christ. Okay, those with rejection personalities, and yes, it is a personality that will begin to develop in your life called a rejection personality. What happens when people walk with that rejection personality and they begin to internalize their feelings, they create a false personality. And with this false personality, it can come into all sorts of different areas here. And I've got a bunch of them here that I'm going to give you the feelings of a false personality. But a false personality also can be any type of identity that you take upon yourself and identify yourself as, this is who I am. All right? And we only have one identity that we should be identifying ourselves with, and that's who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So anything else then becomes like a false personality. All right? So if you see yourself as someone else, you could see yourself as maybe, people do this all the time, like see yourself maybe as a movie star you like, some other maybe person that you work with that you like, as maybe someone who's ministering that you like, and we try to take on those other personalities. That becomes a false personality because that's not yours, you see? And you never should ever want to be somebody else anyway, because let me tell you that why. When you, if you want to do what I do, so you try to do what I do, and I'm not saying that people don't have similar callings that I have, but if you are trying to be Bev Tucker, when you get to heaven, you are going to get no rewards for Bev Tucker, for being Bev Tucker. I'm going to get them. See what I'm saying? So don't want to be me. Want to be you. Okay? Because we step into false roles, so to speak. There's no reward for a false role. You want to be the wonderful person Jesus made you to be. And that's a great person. It really is. He didn't make mistakes. But, okay, back to this false personality. So be careful. that you literally, you know, sometimes it's no more than just taking off your shirt, your cloak. Whatever you put on, take it off if it's not who God made you to be, all right? So you, if you're a person that walks in that rejection, or you feel insecure, or you feel like you're never going to arrive to that place of wholeness, get that garment off. Take it off. That's up to you to do that. That's like a deliverance, by the way. When you've had enough, you start disrobing and get the garments of hell, so to speak, off of you. You know, and you put on then the garment of praise, the garment of righteousness, the garment of the identity that God has given you. Okay, so a person, to help you identify this and see if you're in those places, that has allowed the creation of a false personality because of rejection. And anyway, you know if you have or not. These feelings can be feelings of worthlessness, wishing maybe you'd never been born, wishing you were somebody else instead of who you are. Feelings of inferiority, that you're not as good as the next person. Having feelings of guilt or shame, like I'm always bad, or I'm wrong, or I'm you just don't have any self-esteem in who you are. A person who is rejected, they measure their self-worth based upon acceptance. So if I can only define my self-worth whether you like me or not. You know, hopefully you all really like me, or you probably wouldn't be here. But you know, there are really people who don't like me too much, which is hard to imagine. I'm kidding. But, you know, seriously, then if my self-worth goes by that, you see, I would go around maybe not feeling real good about myself. You see, I've said this before. When I got delivered of rejection, I don't care if you like me or not. Okay? And I really don't, because I will do the will of the Lord. Amen. All right? Not your will, His will. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't always be kind and nice. But what I'm saying is, whether you accept the message that I bring or not, as long as I've studied, as long as I'm lining things up with the Word of God, then that becomes your issue, because I cannot divert from what God's told me to do because of you liking to hear what I've got to say or not. You understand? See, so that's where it comes in, but that doesn't make a difference in any area of your life. You walk in your acceptance of Jesus Christ, not acceptance of one or other people, because not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to be happy about you. So if you've not made that decision of your value, and you know what? Again, your value comes from the Lord. So then it goes back to your choice again. Are you going to believe that He has put great value on your life or not? You know, don't go around saying you're unworthy. You know, how sorry is that? You know, especially sitting, I guess, in this church, right? You ought to know. Okay, so they go around and they measure their self-worth based upon acceptance. When they're not accepted, they devalue their own self-worth, which negatively affects their personality. And also, after a while, will begin to affect your health. What I'm talking about here, rejection, there's so many little, like it has such a family of a nest of spirits, like even fear and animosity towards yourself, that it eventually can begin to develop serious health problems in your life, all right? So that's another reason why we want to deal with negative things, because all of this that I'm talking about affects your immune system, okay? And when people are being attacked with, especially, and that's huge, and it's in the church too, autoimmune diseases, okay, which we're going to talk a little bit about today. We don't have to have them, but a lot of times we don't deal with the root of them, so that's where they come in, okay? Rejection then creates a personality malfunction that is caused within the person through hurts or wounds, and that means in your past somewhere you've been hurt, you've been wounded, It could be a generational curse. Could be divorce has come into your life. Some place where you've been rejected, you've been betrayed, there's been trauma, abandonment, maybe neglect as a child, maybe your parents weren't there to properly cover you growing up. There could have been a violated trust, could be areas of handicaps, people who have physical or mental handicaps where there's possibly been abuse. You know, and we'll talk to this because I'm going to give you a little bit more on this next week, but abuse is huge in opening up a child, because if a child is abused, that child has been told basically you have no value, especially in the arena of physical or sexual or verbal abuse, any of that. You have no value. You are not being valued as the child. So because of that, rejection comes, but then it still goes back to, it has to be your responsibility to get rid of it. Amen. You're the one who's going to have to look at it for what it is and decide, is this of God or not? If he bore it on the cross, it wasn't of him, was it? What do you think Jesus bore on the cross? He bore the complete and total dilemma man was in because of the fall. Didn't he? And see, all of these things come out of the fall. So whether the hurt or the pain is real, or it's perceived, or it's irrelevant to those suffering from rejection, the root cause of a rejection personality or a rejection malfunction is pain. Satan takes advantage of our pain, and he uses it to launch us into building a house using rejection materials. Typically, a person with a rejection personality has spent years building a house or building this personality. This is why you need to know it's not going to always come down overnight. Do you know deliverance is a progression? And you can come in and you can start getting delivered and you can have major breakthrough. But I guarantee you something else is going to come up. So be prepared. It's not like all of a sudden, oh my goodness, it didn't work. It worked. But you just got to do a little more. You just got to get a little more off of you. So you just, I want you to understand, if you've spent years building these mindsets and these belief systems in, then it may take some time to break them down. It's not that deliverance couldn't come immediately, because it could. And much of it does. I do believe deliverance is instant. I really do. Because if I go to cast a demon out, it's going to go if you're in agreement, okay? If you're in agreement and you've broken its legal rights to be there, it has to leave, okay? But that doesn't mean that you might not have some belief systems, mindsets, or where you entertain imaginations, okay, that are not godly, that those things you have to choose to come out of those belief systems, because those belief systems become a safe place for those demonic spirits. You see, so deliverance is not always just about come out, come out. It's about you changing the way you think and getting it so it lines up with this. Okay? Because that's where Jesus said, it says in Romans 12, that you are to renew your mind. Why? Because you have stinking thinking. We think the way the world does, whether we like it or not. Okay, so if you're spending more time putting worldly things into your heart than the Word of God, then when you even come in for deliverance, you'll be surprised how much stuff is still where you need to get some different mindsets, belief systems, because those become like strongholds. So this house or this personality that's made of all these various materials have been structured in your life. So deliverance is a beginning, basically, of tearing down these ungodly belief systems that people can have. Through prayer and deliverance, we can bring about healing, but the false personality that was built by rejection has to be torn down by your changing your view of who you are in Christ. All right? So if you spend a life being sick, you know, some people spend their entire life being sick. They're sick from a child all the way up. That becomes programmed into you, doesn't it? Therefore, you need to change the program. You need to change the station on the radio, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? And you need to start listening to what God says about your healing. You know, when we first started getting into healing, especially when we began to seek it out for our child, what we had to work through are actually, it's almost like sometimes you feel like you're digging your way through this muck, were things that we were taught as children, were things that we were taught in the church world. Because you know what? The church world has always said, well, it might be God's will to heal you, but it might not. He might want you to suffer. Really? Didn't I just read to you that he suffered for you? You know, so if he took it, it's on you illegally. Now, I'm not saying that it might not be attacking you, but I am saying it doesn't have a right to be there and that you need to wage war against it. See, when you have it established as to who you are, then when that stuff does come, your tolerance level of that is like zilch. No, I'm not taking this. And you will start coming against it. You will start casting it down. You'll start casting it out. You will not receive it. You'll not surrender to its desire. See, we're surrendering to a wrong desire. We surrender to God's desire. What is God's desire for you? It was at the cross. It was at the cross. So rejection wants to tell you who you are, wants to give you value, wants to give you your self-esteem, and wants to give you these things through works rather than an identity provided by the grace of Jesus Christ. Grace says it's yours, whether you deserve it or not. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. Grace is undeserved favor, isn't it? It's, I mean, you didn't deserve the favor of God for anything. None of us did, but it's still yours. Okay? Work says, I didn't deserve anything, so I got to keep working to get it. You see, we need to realize you can't get it anyway. So just receive it. Just make, how do you receive from God? You see it in the word, you say, yes, this is mine. And then you start speaking that. You line your mouth up with what the word says. That's how, okay? And that doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. Sometimes you can feel like you're in a tug of war. But if you're established in the word of God, you're going to know this is mine and I won't surrender to that. Some people need to start declaring you're whole. If you've been broken, through any type of abuse, okay? Start saying something different. Stop saying, I'm broken. Stop saying, I've got all these broken parts of my life from thus. And start saying, I'm whole. Watch yourself become whole. You know, this work of God's is a whole lot easier than we think it is. We get into this reasoning, and I think it comes into this works mentality where we feel we either have to do enough prayer, enough reading the word, which we do, those things, we do those things and we should, but those things, by doing them, isn't a thing where if I do enough of it, I'm going to get this. It's like when you choose to believe it, then it's yours. So if I believe I have the right to be whole, remember I told you when I was teaching on healing the broken heart or restoring the soul or whatever, I guess I called it, that at one point in my own life, I said, God, why do I feel like I feel? Remember I said when I felt like this little girl? And I thought, maybe God, I'm broken in this area. And I thought, well, if I am, just heal it, God. And he healed it. And I gave it no more thought. Do you know that was that easy? See, so if you would start realizing, don't allow, I want to say this correctly, I'm not saying deny the fact, but I'm saying deny it the right to stay there. So even though a psychologist has said you have been, you have multiple personalities, you have alters, you have all this brokenness, or a doctor says, well, you've got cancer, or you've got diabetes, or whatever that is, that goes with that, okay? Doesn't mean it has the right to stay there. Again, I'm not saying don't deny it and don't ignore it. Go after it and make it surrender to the cross. You see? Start saying, if by his stripes you were healed, okay, then you're healed. If he bore your sins on the cross, your sins were bore on the cross. Is that not correct? Let me read this to you because some of you really need to get this. I'm going to go to 1 Peter 2:24. And then I'm going to jump back to that scripture that I just read. But it says, he personally bore our sins in his body on the tree. So were your sins forgiven? Are you free then of sin? You are, because Jesus took your sins for you. Is that not correct? But it also says that with his wounds you've been healed. So were you healed or not? Yes, no? Okay. Were you, if you go to Isaiah, and some of the translations in 1 Peter 2:24 say the same thing, but he says, by his wounds, or stripes, you were healed and you were made whole. So if you were made whole, are you whole? Does that mean then that you have to be broken? It doesn't. You see, begin calling things back into alignment in your life because you have the right to do it as a child of God. You know, just like in the natural, there are certain things that as a child of your parents, you have a right. You have a right to the inheritance that belongs to you. Is that not true? Well, see, you have a right to this. And you know what? If I leave my children a bunch of stuff, I wouldn't be too happy somebody else getting what I left my kids. It rightfully belongs to them. We worked all our life to, so to speak, give it, if you do, leave your children, to leave it to our children, okay? I'm not going to leave it to your children. I'm going to leave it to mine, okay? So I wouldn't expect any of your children to come and take from my kids, all right? God has given this to us as an inheritance, and he expects us to receive it. It's ours. So start acting like you're whole. Start speaking that you're whole. You know, I don't know if I told you guys, because I don't remember when I talk to you all the time. I talk all the time to people. I do. So anyway, I never remember who I say stuff to. But if I told you this, oh well, I'm going to tell it to you again. There was this, you know what I'm going to tell. There was this doctor. He was doing surgery on a woman doing heart surgery. They had her heart out of her body. And then they went and they were running it, keeping it going by machine. Then when they went to put it back in her, they couldn't get it to beat. The heart would not beat. So the doctor bends over and whispers in the woman's ear, and he said, ma'am, we need your help. Your heart won't start beating. We need your help. You need to tell your heart to start beating. And her heart started beating just like that. She even subconsciously came into agreement and apparently probably said that subconsciously. You know, you can say things subconsciously. We need to start saying we're whole. Don't be declaring what someone else has diagnosed you as, what someone else has marked you or identified you as. Say what God has identified you as. He has said you're more than a conqueror. He said you're victorious. He said, I have made you whole. I am the Lord that healeth thee. You see what I'm saying? You see how we're kind of missing it, aren't we? And if this woman, oh my goodness, unconscious, under an anesthetic, comatose, so to speak, and the doctor says, tell your heart to start beating, and it starts beating. Why? Because she worked with him. We need to work with God to accomplish, first of all, his perfect will in our lives. God wants you where you need to be, then you become a help to other people. All right? Anyway, that's not my lesson, so that was all free. Rejection wants to give you an identity, but the rejected personality is not the real you. You cannot allow the hurt or the abuse of yesterday determine who you are today. You cannot allow what happened to you in the past to rule and to become who you are. Otherwise, it would be, you literally stay in that wheelchair and have to be pushed around all your life. But we want to run that race that's set before us. I do not want to be a cripple. I do not want to be paralyzed. I want to run and do what God says. But see, if I identify with whatever's been dumped on me, how many of you have had stuff dumped on you? And I'm not just talking sickness. It could be all sorts of things. We all have. If you've lived in this world, you've had junk dumped on you. But that doesn't mean you have to let it stay there. You go in and you get the Word of God and you change the things that that have come on you. Okay, rejection produces lack of confidence. You know, and this was another thing I was thinking when I was reading through these things. You know, it says, cast not away your confidence because it has great recompense of reward. What do you not want to cast away your confidence? That God will bring you all the way through the situation. And he does. If you are, this is so good because if you are in pursuit of God's will in your life, keep pursuing it and don't cast away your confidence, but keep moving forward. Because cast not away your confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. In other words, God will bring you through. You know, I will never forget how I would never accept my son's disease, whatever you wanted to call it, the dead bone. I never would. I would not for 1 second of one day did I like that disease. Did I embrace that disease? I hated it. So because I hated it, I refused it. No matter how many people told me, church people especially, doctors, accept it, wouldn't do it. And because I didn't, in my lack of understanding, in my lack of knowledge concerning the Word of God, because I refused to accept something that was out of alignment with the Word of God, God led me to that truth so I could receive it. So that's where, if you will not cast away your confidence in what this book says, it has great recompense of reward to you. Okay? Even in the area of finances. Okay? I like what Brian said today because he preached a sermon I preach a lot. You don't know, you said it in about 2 or 3 words. And it was like God had that one right in my face because I've kind of said opposite sometimes, you know. But it's, you know what? Fact could be one thing, but what's the truth? You see? Whether it's your finances, whether it's brokenness, whether it's mental things, whether it's physical things. What does the Word say? Fact can be one thing, but you always have to allow truth, okay? And if you... Sometimes people, when they battle for a long time, and you know what? Sometimes we battle for a long time because we have not understood the truth of something, you know, and so sometimes that goes. And sometimes it could just be something that's a lot that, you know, it's just a big thing you have to battle, okay? But even in that, just because you're having to walk a bit through this Don't feel that it's a refusal from God. See, sometimes when we don't lay hold of what God has for us right away, like if you're battling sickness or if you're battling even severe brokenness in your life, and I know there are people here who are, if that be the case, just because you don't arrive tomorrow, don't ever look at that as God's hesitancy to heal you. Okay? Just know you're walking through some muck, but there's light at the end of that for you. Okay? There's great recompense of reward for you if you won't quit and you'll keep pressing in there. Okay? Okay, unhealed hurts from the past caused by rejection are primary entry points for the enemy. Now, that would be a major door that the enemy could have to access your life. Well, the pain is unhealed, and those who have done the rejecting are unforgiven, okay? So make sure you forgive anyone who needs to be forgiven. Then healing also can be something that sometimes takes a while to get. Deal with certain things that can block you. You know, and where unforgiveness can block you, so can a low self-esteem block you. You see what I'm saying? So start realizing that as much as we, and I don't know if y'all think this, but you might think, oh, well, Evelyn, she knows so much about healing that, yeah, naturally God's going to heal you. You're as valuable to God as she is. Right. He doesn't have favorites. You know, having favorites is not really of God. God doesn't choose one child over the other. He gives us all, okay? So in that, if you ever quit judging yourself and quit judging God and the Word of God by deciding why this happens and I don't get this because of this, just know it belongs to you. And you have been made worthy because God made you worthy. So yes, you can have it. You know, I mean, it would be like your own child wanting something to eat. You're not going to feed one, but this other one, when he decides to straighten up, you'll finally give him something to eat. No. You don't do that. You see, same way with the Lord. In Hebrews 4, 10 and 11, and I like this one because this really talks about coming into a place of not walking in rejection. It says, he who has entered God's rest has stopped from the weariness and pain of human effort. We just need to receive from God. We don't have to try. He who has entered into God's rest has stopped from the weariness of pain and human efforts. Let us therefore exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest. There is no rest in rejection. Rejection is a form of unbelief. It's faithlessness because it says you are not accepted of God. In order to be accepted of God, we have a mindset that first we have to either be accepted by other people or we have to do things good enough. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're setting man up as our God. And then who you are and who you are not rests upon whether someone else accepts you or not. Self-idolatry and the idolatry of other people, in which your value and who you are depends on them liking you or not. You were not made for mankind. You were made for God. That's who you are made for. All right? And in Psalm 139, it talks about the fact that you are not an accident. You are not a mistake. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead here just a little bit, and I'm going to watch my time here too. Okay. Rejection is an evil spirit. So sometimes in the fact that rejection is a spirit, okay, it provokes feelings, but rejection is not a feeling. It is a spiritual force that operates against you to rob you of, again, receiving all that God has for you. If you're walking in a spirit of rejection and feel people reject you, you are also going to have a propensity towards rejecting what God has for you, okay? It works both ways, all right? So because you have a hard time accepting acceptance, okay? If you have a hard time more or less accepting whether you're accepted in God irregardless of what other people say or not, and you go around with this rejection mentality, then what happens is that when it comes for you to need to receive something from God, you don't receive it. That rejection spirit operates to keep you rejecting good things too. See what I'm saying? Let me ask you this. If you need something from God right now, why have you not received it? I mean, just a thought. I mean, and that's setting aside the fact that I know there's warfare. I know there's a process sometimes. But some of you have been in this process for a long time. All right? And I'm saying this not in condemnation, but in self-examination. All right? We need to sometimes look at ourselves and say, you know what? I need to shift the way I'm talking, the way I'm looking at things, what I'm imagining. Okay? You know, Dodie Osteen talks about when she was diagnosed with cancer, and she literally had 3 weeks to live. Every time she drove by this one cemetery on their way to work, she saw herself in that cemetery. You see, she had to get some things adjusted. Okay, now there was the enemy attacking her at the same time. But see, you have to see yourself living. You have to even see yourself receiving. See yourself whole for a change. Quit seeing yourself always on the outside of every relationship looking in. Start, instead of saying, I'm never accepted or I can't get this relationship right, start declaring these relationships are right. Start declaring you're okay. Quit talking about yourself all the time like you're not okay. All right? It simply is as simple as going back to that woman who had the heart thing, and he says, we need your help. There was a doctor up in Madison a number of years ago. I've read this to you before out of Charles Capp's book. He had his patients, he wasn't a Christian, had his patients declare they had diabetes, and he had them declare certain insulin levels over themselves every day. And for 15 minutes a day. And all of a sudden, their insulin levels begin to come into alignment with what they should. It's the power of our words, isn't it? So if you take the fact that if you can do this in the world system, and that goes with the scripture out of the Tower of Babel. He said there'll be nothing impossible for them. That was world system, guys. And God said, if they can get in agreement with the words that are coming out of their mouths, there's not going to be anything impossible. Well, what would happen if Christians would come into agreement with what God says? And we would be saying what God says about us. So if the world could take and they could start declaring that their levels of the insulin levels and stuff that they needed were okay, and they would say they were what over whatever, you know, it's kind of like calling your blood pressure into what it should be too, same thing. But if they could do that in the world system, and then again, that is scriptural because God said that in Genesis 11, that even the world, because they were one heart and one mind and one voice, that there nothing would be impossible. Again, if our hearts, we are in one heart and one mind with saying what the word said. And how many of us know we have changed things? There are some people in here, you have literally turned bad situations around in your life by saying what God said about you. See, and so that's not works. That's agreement. That's coming into an alignment with God. That's not trying to work the word. It's being in agreement with the word. Yes, and if I believe what he says, then it's going to automatically come out of my mouth rather than all this death that's coming out of our mouths. Now, to take you to another scripture to prove exactly what I'm saying, in James chapter 3, it says, for we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things, but if anyone does not offend in the words of his mouth, his speech, then he is fully developed, a perfect man, and he is able to control his whole body. That's not little stuff what I just read. James chapter 2. If we often stumble, and this is talking about the words of our mouth, James chapter 3, what's coming out of our mouths. So if you go around all the time speaking brokenness, speaking rejection, speaking lack, speaking poverty, speaking sickness and disease, speaking deficit into your life, he said, the person who does not offend in speech. So it's an offense to ourselves when we're saying something contrary to the Word of God. We are offending who he made us to be. That's like, oh my goodness. What was it that Pat read the other night? Ah, that was so good. That in our DNA, that it is the Word of God in Hebrew is literally written in on your DNA. And who did she say where they studied and found that out to be? Yeah, she had seen it. We'll bring it. We should get that typed up. Oh my goodness, the imprint of God's word, literally in our very being. So if we're saying something opposite, we're offending what we're literally made of. Are we not? I'll get that. We need to get that copied and read that. Because it did, after these scientists had studied, they had literally seen that, you know, scientists are finding out a lot of the stuff that actually is in the Word of God is so, it is so true. But literally that our DNA is composed of literally the Hebrew language, you know? Anyway, when they looked it up, they saw all the little different things in it. It's kind of like if you take a sand dollar and you open it up, there's a cross in it. There's all sorts of little things that we can, there are more than just a sand dollar. But the cross is in there. Still God speaking to man, isn't it? So it says here, if we offend not in speech, then if my entire makeup is nothing but God's, what God endeavored for me. How did you come into existence? God spoke. How did you get born again? The Word of God. We're born, we're begotten from the Word, aren't we? When you hear the Word of God, that talks about that in Peter. I'll take you to that. But see, the thing of it is that we are offending our very selves by not speaking agreement with what God says about us. For we often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, in his words, never says the wrong things. What are the wrong things? Anything contrary to this book. Is that extreme? Not really. It's just God is what it is. Now, God might seem kind of extreme to the world system, but I think they're a little bit extremely off. See what I'm saying? Never says the wrong thing, then he is a fully developed character, perfect man, able to control his whole body and nature. Bring the nature into this. Then do you have to be broken? No. Start saying you're whole. Stop declaring what the world says about you. Yes, it may have happened to you. Yes, you may be broken. Yes, you may be rejected. Yes, you may be sick. But does it have to stay that way? No, it doesn't. God has given us a way to come out, hasn't he? But if you're always saying the problem, you're establishing that in your life. And you are giving that thing a firm foundation in your life. And God wants that foundation broken. Is my word not like a hammer that breaks in pieces, that rock of stubborn resistance, that foundation that the enemy has endeavored to structure up into your life from the time you were conceived? God has always had a plan for you, and the devil has always tried to interfere with that plan and establish his plan. And what is his plan? Nothing but destruction. Nothing but everything Jesus took on the cross to bear for you so you didn't have to have it. Again, if you question, is this mine? Look at the cross. By his wounds, you've been healed. You've been made whole. He carried your griefs. He carried your sorrows, your brokenness, your shame, your lack. He became poor that we might become rich. He did it all. So if we're always looking to the deficit and declaring that, then if I'm always saying, nobody likes me, I don't fit in, and that might be true, but I can change it by what comes out of my mouth. I can declare people like me too. You can become even likable if you don't think you're likable. You can. Anyway, I need to get back to my lesson, but I think God's wanting to say some things to us. You know what? I think we have a tendency. You know, I really believe God is so wanting his church, and we are getting there. We are really getting there. To be this mighty army, convinced of who our God is, convinced of who we are in him. And I'll tell you what, in these last days, it's not going to be no sick, broken, defeated people that are going to go out and take the world for Jesus. It's going to be mighty men and women of God who know what he's done for them and walk in that wholeness and walk in that soundness. Now, if I leave my children an inheritance and they allow someone else to come in and steal that inheritance, it's like, okay, guys, get up and go after what belongs to you. I would expect my children to not lie down and let somebody else come in and take what belongs to them. But see, God expects that of us. So if you're battling today, please don't hear me not having compassion, but hear me saying to you, somebody paid for you to not have to stay there. Someone purchased all of it for you so you can rise up and take this cloak off that the devil has tried to put on you. Whether it's a cloak of depression, sickness, disease, you have authority over it. And you can speak to that. See, just like it said, you can, if you don't offend in speech, well, how do you offend in speech? By going contrary to the word of God. You go contrary, even if it says in the Bible that he is waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. Who are God's enemies? Well, go to the cross again. Sickness, disease, rejection, shame, sorrows, everything that the enemy, we are not each other's enemies, and we're not God's, but it's the garbage that has come in that wants to rule. So again, if you can go back to Genesis 11, and even the heathen, by coming into agreement with one another, could accomplish what they were. Think of what the Word of God or the Christians could do if we could just come into agreement, not just with each other, but with this Word. And see, if Jesus, the Bible says that the Word of God is a sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, it won't go void, will it? One translation says it's a force to be reckoned with. Are you a force to be reckoned with? When some type of malady tries to come on you, should you not be saying, uh-uh, get out in the name of Jesus? I command you to leave my body in the name of Jesus. I speak to brokenness, and I speak to anything that holds that brokenness in place, and I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I speak to the loneliness, and I command loneliness. See, what are you submitting and surrendering to those things for? When Jesus gave you authority to get rid of them. When the devil got authority on this earth, he released all of his false gods. But when Jesus came on this earth, became a man, when God became a man and got that authority back, he released that authority back to the church to start telling these things to get out. What do you do with authority? You make a decision. This is going to be one way, and this is not going to be this way. That's what you decide. You get the will of God in the matter, and then you make the decision to not allow the gates of hell to prevail in your life. And see, you've got to decide, no, this will not be. And if I have to speak to it every day, I will speak to it. I will hold my ground and know you will go in the name of Jesus because I have authority over you. Know who you are. That's not arrogance. That is knowing that I can take his word and like a hammer, break in pieces the rock of most stubborn resistance because the hammer is the word. And the word does not go void, and it will not fail. And the word of God can be like a fire that will consume all that can't stand the test. Let me ask you, is sickness, disease, brokenness, lack, and poverty going to stand a test when it stands before God? Or will it be burned up? See, so if we take the word of God, it says it will consume. What is holding you today? You have the authority to speak to it and command it to get out of your life. And I'll tell you what, I can command stuff to go and it will leave, but you're the one that's going to keep it off of you. Because I'm not going home with none of you today. I'm going to go home with Lou. That's it. I said, yeah, yay, Lou, he gets me. So it's in your ballpark, but you got to do it. And I don't care, even some of you, I know you're single, you're alone. You know, it always is easier when you have somebody with you, but you know what? You always got Jesus, you know? So don't ever feel you're alone. You have Jesus. See, and once you rise up and start taking back ground in your life, then actually that releases more of what God wants to do in your life. You see? So start declaring. Start letting the words of your mouth no longer be an offense to your very life. You should write that one down. You should. Do my words offend me? We always think about offending somebody else or somebody offending us. But how about you? Are you offending your very self by the words of your mouth? Because when we speak contrary to the word of God, that offense is towards us. Because I am declaring I'm sick, I'm broken, I'm poor, I don't got enough to pay my bills, I'm in debt. That isn't an alignment. How many of you think that's in alignment with the word of God? Anybody here think it is? When one word I just said, that I'm sick, I'm broke, I'm poor, is that alignment? But how many of us speak it? We are offending our very life by the words that we are speaking. Okay? And I'll tell you what, there's no devil in hell or on earth or in the heavenlies. There's no sin. There's no disease. Incurable is only a word of this earth. Incurable means nothing to God. What's incurable with man is not incurable with God. How many of you have ever had a diagnosis? Incurable. We have. We're cured. Yeah. Because why? Because that, you know what, it offends me, literally. It would offend me. In fact, when we went to the doctor and the doctor told us we had the worst case of Percy's disease, number 4, I was really offended because those were stout words against us. You see, we need to, and I don't mean be ugly, I'm not talking about that, but when you get a bad diagnosis or something negative comes to your way, let the Spirit of the Lord in you rise up and push that off. You know, and then you come into alignment. I've told you this before, the young woman that she she still does come to church, but she lives way up north now, but off and on. But when she was diagnosed with a huge tumor in her breast, the first thing she did was get out her phone, called Pastor Kevin, and said, pray with me. She didn't say, oh. She said, no, I'm not taking this. And the first thing she did was lined up with the Word of God. When we choose to speak life and not death, we release life into our very beings. Okay? And I'm done, and I didn't get much preached on rejection today, but don't reject God's Word. See, maybe that would be a big big way to get rejection off your life, is make a decision that if God's Word says it, and if God says I'm accepted, then I'm going to quit wallowing in this rejection. If God's Word says I'm whole, I'm going to quit wallowing in brokenness. And when you wallow, I'm not saying it's always self-pity. It's just like you can get so caught up and not even realize what you're operating in. Okay? And all of a sudden, it's just like, get a hold of yourself, shake yourself and say, no, I'm not doing this no more. I have the right. You as children of God, healing is the children's bread. Your provision. So if he provided it, lay hold of it. Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm going to quit. Hallelujah, that was good. Yes, okay. I am going to open up the altars for a few minutes so we can actually do pray for people if you do need prayer today. All right, it's 11:30, so, you know, we've got part, kind of a smaller team here today, but we're going to pray. All right? Okay. So I'm going to dismiss you. I call you blessed. I call you healed. I call you prosperous. I call you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I declare that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I declare soundness over every person in this room right now in the name of Jesus. You are sound. You have a sound mind. You are not confused. You are blessed of God. Blessed coming in. Blessed going out. You're blessed in the field. You're blessed in the store. Your children are blessed. This is a house of blessing. You, personally, are a house, a temple of the blessing of God in the name of Jesus. Amen? So I release you. We're done. Hallelujah. Go home and say, no longer decide, I will not offend myself any longer. I'm not going to offend who I am. I'm not going to offend what God made me. I am going to speak words of life and curb my whole body, my whole nature by saying what God says about me.